In our gospel today, we hear Mark's account of the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus, his first day on the job, so to speak. Remember that Jesus spent his first 30 years on earth in complete ordinariness. No preaching, no teaching, no miracles, no exorcisms, just living a normal life. It was around the age of 30 is when he was baptized in the Jordan by John, then sent into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And then he comes back to Galilee and he starts to call the first disciples to follow him. And then really today is the first day of his public ministry. The gospel today picks up from last Sunday's gospel, which ended with the story of Jesus casting out a demon from a man in the synagogue on that day, on the Sabbath day, where Jesus had gone. And so let's just kind of walk through this first day of Jesus' public ministry and see what insights we can take from it. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. Let's stop right there. They immediately told Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law. When I have a problem, when I have a concern, when I have a challenge in my life, which we all do, do I immediately go to Jesus? Or do I turn first to complain or gossip? Jesus always wants us to come to him with all of our trials and all of our difficulties. He wants us to immediately come to him. Jesus approached her, grasped her hand, and helped her up. She had a fever. Now we hear like a fever. I mean, what's the big deal, right? A fever in these days could be a really serious thing. We live in the world of antibiotics, and you get a high fever, okay, we'll give you some antibiotics and you're going to be fine. But you have a fever in those days, that's you could be on death's doorstep. And so for Jesus to heal this woman, it's really like he's bringing her back to life. In fact, the word here that's translated helped her up, in Greek, the verb that's used here is the same verb that Mark will use at the end of the gospel when he talks about the resurrection. In a real sense, Jesus resurrected Peter's mother-in-law. He brought her back to life. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. She's healed by Jesus, and then she starts to serve. Isn't that what we're called to as well? In our baptisms, all of us, we've been resurrected. We've been raised up by Jesus. We've been healed of the fever of original sin. And now we serve. Once I experience the healing gift of Jesus, it's so that now I can give of myself more fully to God and to my neighbor. Healing always leads to greater service for others. When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. Word spreads quickly in a small town. The town would have been there that morning in the synagogue during the Sabbath service where Jesus cast out this demon. And I'm sure word of Peter's mother-in-law miraculously being healed spread quickly. And now after sunset, Mark mentions it's sunset because remember, this is the Sabbath day. For the Jews, the Sabbath begins on Friday evening at sundown and it lasts through Saturday evening until sundown. And the Jews had very strict rules about work on the Sabbath. They could do no work. And that would include like bringing sick people to get help. And so now that the sun is set, the Sabbath is over, it's Saturday night, and they're bringing their sick to Jesus. And it's no surprise, right? Imagine if there was someone in a wheelchair here and I just, boom, healed that person. Boom, they jumped out of the wheelchair. Something tells me word would spread fast and I'd go home to the rectory tonight and people would be banging on the door saying, please heal my friend, my child. The whole town was gathered at the door. All these people coming to Jesus with their pains, with their sorrows, with their burdens. One of the great joys of being a priest is that I get to be with people sometimes in some of the most joyful moments of their lives. I get to be there at the baptisms, at the weddings, at the first communions, confirmations, the parties to celebrate these things. I get to lead pilgrimages from time to time and take people to places that they dream about going. Rome, the Holy Land. These once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. And I get to be a part of that. What a great gift that is as a priest. But at the same time, as a priest, I often have the great privilege, too, of being with people in some of the most painful, most heart-wrenching, most difficult moments of their lives. I sometimes think that if I could collect all of the tears that I've seen shed in my presence as a priest, I bet I could fill Lake Superior with those tears. We all know there's tremendous suffering in our world, tremendous trials. We all experience it from different times in our lives. The whole town was gathered at the door. What does Jesus do? He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons. He healed them. Jesus always wants us to bring our pain to him. Sometimes in those moments when I'm with a person or a family in the midst of great, tremendous suffering, in my mind, I'm like, I have no idea what to say right now. What can I say? There's nothing I can say to even begin to take away this tremendous suffering this person, this family is experiencing. But I know someone who can. And that's Jesus. That's why I can always say, let's turn to Jesus. Let's pray. He's the divine healer. Jesus wants to heal all of us. And the way that Jesus heals us is a tremendous mystery. In his time, in his way. And we know that we're never fully going to be healed in this life. But one day, in the kingdom of heaven, we'll experience that complete and total healing that Jesus longs for all of us. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Again, this is the first day of Jesus' public ministry. Does an exorcism in the synagogue, goes to Peter's house, heals his mother, word spreads, the whole town comes. He spends who knows how long into the night healing people, visiting with people. I'm betting at the end of that day, he was pretty tired. And we know from later in the gospel that he had to leave the next day to travel somewhere else. So he's hitting the road the next day. And so maybe there was that temptation in his mind that, you know what, it's been a long first day of public ministry. I'm just going to sleep in tomorrow and then hit the road. We can put prayer off to the side. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Father, I'm too busy to pray every day. I don't have time. I don't have time to pray every day. Okay. Then get up earlier, like Jesus did. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." Boy, you could preach a whole homily on that one line. Everyone is looking for you. Is that not true of the whole human race? Everyone is looking for Jesus, is looking for God. Even if they don't know it, because we all long for Him. We were given that God-shaped hole in our hearts that we might seek Him, because He is the only one that can fulfill what our hearts were created for. Everyone is looking for you. Do I look for Jesus? And do I remember the other truth, that Jesus is looking for me? He wants me to seek Him so that I might find Him. Jesus told them, "Let us go to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also, for this purpose have I come." He's come to preach the truth. And remember, it's the truth that sets us free. The truth is what changes hearts. He's come to bring truth to the world. And He must continue to preach that truth. And so Mark writes, "So He went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee." The ministry of Jesus has begun. And it continues for the next 3 years or so, until His death and resurrection. But remember, the ministry of Jesus didn't end there either. The ministry of Jesus continues today through His church. This is why Jesus established a church, so that His ministry of teaching and preaching and healing and exorcism could continue all throughout the centuries. That's why I always have to stay close to the church, because when I stay close to the church, I'm close to the authority and the sacraments and the grace that Jesus left His body so that His ministry could continue all throughout time. Today, Mark tells us about the first day of the public ministry of Jesus, but that ministry continues today and every day through me and through you.